Allegations of wrongful sexual behavior touch a politically influential corporate CEO. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Over the weekend, the CEO of Wynn Resorts, billionaire casino mogul Steve Wynn, stepped down from his post as the Republican National Committee finance chairman. That resignation comes after accusations he pressured his casino employees to engage in sexual acts. Marketplace's Rima Kreis joins me now from Los Angeles. Hi, Rima.
Hi, David.
Now, Steve Wynn is just one of the latest powerful public figures to face sexual harassment allegations, but he's also the founder and chairman of a major publicly held company. What are the implications of that?
Well, first I'll say that Wynn, he has denied the accusations as quote-unquote preposterous. But since the Wall Street Journal broke the story Friday, you know, we've seen investors flee shares of Wynn Resorts. The stock is down about 15%. And just to give you a sense of the company, David, it's an $18.5 billion business with casinos in Las Vegas and in the Chinese territory of Macau. Even there in Macau, shares have slipped. Wynn, you know, he's often been described as integral to the success of the company. He owns more than 10% of it. His signature is the company logo. The latest is that the Wynn Resorts board has formed an independent committee, and it says it'll investigate the allegations.
Now, we'll watch just how that board acts moving forward, but this isn't the first time that board has come under fire.
Yeah, that's right. The board has a history of supposedly favoring Steve Wynn. A few years ago, his ex-wife, Elaine Wynn, accused the board of pushing her out after she criticized him. The two are actually in the middle of a lawsuit. Elaine is suing to get back voting control of her stake in the company. And when it comes to corporate governance more generally, research firms have given the board pretty poor ratings. It's been criticized of overpaying its executives, not being diverse. Now, it's unclear if the board knew about these sexual harassment allegations, but, you know, we'll see how it responds to them.
All right. Marketplace's Rima Kreis, thank you. There's news today that Little Pod people have bought into the soft drinks business. Keurig, which does those little coffee pods, and Green Mountain Coffee, is paying $11 billion to buy Dr. Pepper and Snapple, which is also 7-Up, A&W Root Beer, Sunkist. And when I say Keurig, it is owned jointly by two international food conglomerates, JAB Holdings of Europe and Mondelez, which traces its lineage back to Kraft Foods. Let's do the live numbers here now that the markets are open. The Dow is down 28 points, a 10%. S&P 500 down 0.2%. The NASDAQ Composite also down 0.3%. Interest rates, the 10-year bond yield is up at 2.71%. And on that last subject, let's check in with economist Julia Coronado at Macro Policy Perspectives in New York.
After a year of sort of ignoring the fact that the Fed was raising interest rates, the bond market's finally sort of waking up to the fact that rates are moving higher.
Driven by a pretty strong economy, depending on who you talk to.
Absolutely. We had a good GDP report for the fourth quarter, a little shy of expectations, but still good, and good momentum coming into the year. So there's no reason that the Fed shouldn't continue along its gradual path of raising interest rates.
But if a person is asking themselves ahead of a big purchase where they might have to borrow money, when are interest rates really going to start moving up? The answer is early 2018.
Right. That's right. Mortgage rates have been also moving up alongside the 10-year Treasury. So if you are borrowing to finance a car or a home, it's going to be a little bit more expensive.
Julia Coronado at Macro Policy Perspectives. Thank you.
My pleasure.
We now have a story queued up on demographics. Cook County, Illinois, which includes the city of Chicago, is home to more African-American people than any other county in the country. But there's an ongoing exodus. Census data show that more than 12,000 African-Americans moved out of the area in 2016. This shift presents challenges for Chicago neighborhoods, as Natalie Moore reports.
For years, William Godwin toggled back and forth between Chicago and Gary, Indiana. In 2016, the 32-year-old black business owner decided to move full-time to the quaint and artsy Miller Beach, a lakefront area in Gary.
The benefits of living here are the affordability, the slower lifestyle, the ease of getting around.
Godwin still does business in Chicago, but has moved his real estate agency for a cheaper rent of $500 a month. Chicago residents sometimes drive to Indiana for cheaper gas, cigarettes, and no taxes on items like plastic shopping bags.
What's happening is that a lot of Chicagoans are seeing the value in Indiana, and it's not this foreign country. In terms of a house, maybe $3,000 less in property taxes, paying on an annual basis. Mortgage, maybe $1,000 less a month.
Northwest Indiana is the place that most blacks from Cook County are going. That's according to the local Metropolitan Planning Council. Alden Laurie is director of research and evaluation. I meet up with him at a cafe in a Southside Chicago neighborhood experiencing population loss. Laurie lives nearby. He says people are leaving for a host of reasons.
When we talk about population loss, let's really talk about what this community has had to endure. What's happening with the schools, what's happening with the stagnant job market for black folks, and what happened with housing.
Laurie says most leaving are low income. And there are groups working on reversing the trend. The Greater Chatham Initiative is a new nonprofit looking at housing stability and economic development in black middle-class neighborhoods. Nidra Sims-Fears is the executive director. One of the things the group is paying attention to is the housing stock.
To make the housing attractive.
Black families are snapping up rehabbed houses, the kind that have open concepts, snazzy kitchens. All the elements featured on HGTV. In Chicago, I'm Natalie Moore for Marketplace.
And one way to slow down cyber thieves and official spies might be to build a souped-up next-generation mobile phone network. The Trump administration's national security team said yesterday it is considering government funding for a new 5G phone network that should be faster and much more secure. Here's what one senior U.S. official told Reuters, quote, "We want to build a network so the Chinese can't listen to your calls." Just what mix of public and private money would be brought to bear isn't yet clear, nor has President Trump signed off on this yet. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.